and welcome to this edition of NBT Comic Review. I am Adam Bacafusco, host of the show. Joined with me is the ever-delightful co-host of the show, Sequoia Winston. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing well. And we have a guest today, do we not?
Does he really qualify as a guest? Because
he is in the same universe as the show. Why? He is a member of our sister show, Damn Art Majors. If you have not listened to Damn Art Majors, pause this right now. Go catch up on all 42 episodes. Come right back and enjoy the rest of the show. Dudders, James Dudders Dudley, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How does it feel to be on a different show?
It feels exactly the same.
It does.
That's why I question you being a guest. Yeah. You should be comfortable with this already. I'm the odd man, in a sense.
Are you?
Well, I mean, think about it. When we do this, it's mostly me by ourselves. So I've never
worked with a lot of guests on No Big Two. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Try to mix it up.
We're working on mixing it up on the other show.
We are. You, sir, are the first guest of the year on this show.
Excellent.
So,
Fist pump.
I just have to ask real quick, how did you get the name Dudders?
My last name is Dudley.
Okay.
And I guess it kind of coincides with comic books a little bit. But we were all hanging out in the sculpture studio one day, and the conversation came up with superhero sidekicks.
Okay.
And I was like, and they were discussing if they were a superhero sidekick, who would they be? Da, da, da. And I was just like, you know what? I'd be the Hulk sidekick. I'd be like the Amazing Dudders. And one of my buddies in sculpture was like, dude, you know that's your name now, right? Like, that's perfect. Like, that is everything that encapsulates who you are. You are now Dudders, and it stuck with me.
No, and that's a great nickname. That's like one of those like TV sitcom nicknames, like Boner or Cockroach or something like that.
Yeah. Snot.
Was there somebody named Snot on TV?
Well, I was more thinking Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I thought that dude's name was Booger.
Booger, that's right.
American Dad, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
American Dad, Snot.
Snot.
Because he's supposed to be like Booger.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, the little Jewish kid is Snot.
Is he voiced by the same actor?
I have no idea. Why are you going to ask me about that?
Sorry. Making conversation. filler.
No. I'm trying to vamp on this show? Hell no. So, we're bringing Dudders in on this episode because this episode we are going to take a look at some of the upcoming comic titles of 2015. And Dudders, you are a man of the arts. You are a sculptor, a fabricator, a constructor, a doodler.
All of these are correct.
Not much of a painter. No.
No, I'm terrible at painting. I will use paint, but I'm so terrible at it, it's embarrassing.
But you are also not a huge comic book reader.
That is correct.
You have one title that you're really into. Every now and then I throw you something that'll strike your fancy.
Yeah. I'm lazy. And comic books require me to drive to someplace other than a hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tend to not get them.
So if we went ahead and put them in Northern Tool and Equipment,
if there was like right at the checkout, if there was like
Lowe's
section,
yeah,
like I'd buy comic books every time I went to the hardware store. It doesn't exist though.
If they did a home improvement comic, would you read it?
No, that'd be terrible. That really only works as a show. Yeah, I mean it's the sound effects. It's you know, Wilson.
Think about the onomatopoeia, though.
It'd be terrible. It'd be bad. It wouldn't. No. I bet you there is a comic. At some point, someone did like a three-part little home improvement like comic thing.
There is literally
we have
a comic of almost every show,
there is.
Movie that is coming on that had a fan base.
I had the comic books that went along, the Starship Trooper comic books that they made.
You know, there's a new Galaxy Quest one going on right now.
Mm.
Speaking of, keeping with that theme of new books coming out in 2015 based on TV or movies, we got us a little list of them.
Yes, I see. I've looked over them earlier, and I'm ashamed to say a lot of these I am not even familiar with.
Really?
I actually looked at that list because you sent it to me. I'm forgetting.
Let's go. Oh, by the way, the list comes to us from Rob Bricken of IO9, so all credit goes to him. We just kind of read it and cherry-picked them. Gem and the Holograms.
Yes.
From IDW.
Wait a minute. God,
are you
going to
put money on that one?
I am looking forward to it. I'm going to check that out because I'm trying to remember who's doing the art. Is it what? Ross Campbell?
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing that? And I really like his stuff, but you know, I've never been hidden in the fact that I loved watching Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah.
When I was a kid growing up, you know.
I think Dutters and I were a couple years too late on that one.
That's fine.
I have seen a couple episodes though.
You didn't even have cable, man.
You had to be in the moment.
No,
honestly.
I saw a couple episodes like 3 years ago.
Oh.
Because someone was like, "You've never heard of Gem and the Hologram?" And I was like, no, I don't even know what that is. And they're like, you gotta watch this. And so they showed me a couple episodes, and I was like, I'm glad I didn't watch that.
You really had to be in the moment when it was coming out, because it caught on to that a whole Debbie Gibson, teen pop singer zeitgeist at that time. So, you know.
What do we think of Bill and Ted and their most triumphant return, number one, from Boom Studios?
Okay, so... This isn't like, this is...
You want to hear the synopsis?
Yes, yes.
All right. With the Excellent Adventures, both movies behind them, Bill and Ted decide to drop by the 27th century and see if they can stop their arch nemesis, Chuck, from hating them.
See, I have not... I'm going to put it to you like this. I am an 80s kid very much through and through, and I'll give Gem the Holograms a pass. But I'm kind of waiting for, like, this shift, like, for when we're starting to get into, like, more... I guess Bill and Ted's is that less late 80s?
Yeah, right? I think so.
I don't know. I've been wondering when this train's going to stop on all the, like, 80s nostalgia comics and such. Like, is it, like, is it maintainable?
I think if Jimmy Fallon has proven anything in the last couple of shows of his, it's that it's not stopping. With his homage to Saved by the Bell and Fresh Prince.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. The whole, now we're in the 80s, going into the early 90s, with our paying, things coming back. Because, I mean, think, what, 5-6 years ago, we were in the 30s. Everyone's brewing their own beer. Everyone's, like, wearing sideburns. You know, we're just progressing back up until we catch up with ourselves again. And we start the whole process over again. And suddenly all the comic books will be about Dracula again.
So what you're saying, still happening, what you're saying to me, as a 28-year-old where all these kids are dressing like it's the early 90s anyway, I can shake my fist and dislike them, and I get to feel that rage again when I'm 72, and those kids are dressing like the kids of today, and I can still feel like they're dressing like the kids in the 90s and shake my fist even harder, and then probably break a hip.
It's all cyclical, man.
I don't know, me personally, no disrespect to the guys who actually work it on the comic, but I don't know if Bill and Ted was anything that I actually asked for or ever secretly wanted. I mean, I'm sure there are Bill and Ted fans out there, and I keep hearing that they're trying to work on a third Bill and Ted movie.
See?
But I just don't understand the necessity of a comic book. Same thing with, it used to be a Bill and Ted cartoon series. Yeah. Like, not too long after Bogus Journey.
It didn't last very long. Was that in the days of the Back to the Future cartoon?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it would have been roughly around the same time because I think I forgot how many years are between Back to the Future 3 and Bill and Ted's 2.
Puppet Master number 1. I've never heard of this brand, Danger Zone.
I'm not familiar with Danger Zone either. But Puppet Master, that's what I'm trying to remember the movie studio that makes those, but.
Probably Danger Zone.
No, but I don't know if you've ever seen like Puppet Master, but they were like these direct to, well, not even DVD, VHS at the time.
Yeah,
it was about like these like evil like miniature puppets that would like come to life and kill people. So, I guess.
So you have that to look forward to. In March, you also have The Fly Outbreak number 1 from IDW. The son of Jeff Goldblum's character has his father's mutation.
Now see, that's BS, man, because did you not see The Fly 2 with Eric Stoltz?
No, I have not.
I never saw the Fly. Who ever watched the Fly 2? I just watched the Fly 1.
Fly 2 is not bad, actually.
Really?
Yeah. All
right. I never saw that. But, that was... God, that's...
That was just...
That's 70s, isn't it?
Well, no. I'm thinking about... There was a remake in the 80s with Jeff Goldblum. This one was like late 80s, early 90s.
Well, it says as he's looking for the cure, he accidentally creates a virus instead. So maybe they're going to take the fly thing, they're going to do something new with it. Maybe they just slap the word, you know, name the fly on there to hook readers, but maybe it's its own identity. Fingers crossed, hopefully.
I don't know what is there to cure. He died at the end of the first one.
Well, you got to cure the mutation, right?
What mutation? What, himself?
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum's good lady got knocked up.
The mutation of what? Having diabetes and a craving for sugar?
Yeah, no, I forgot. Yeah, like he was born like a hybrid or whatever. Yeah. Like I said, go watch.
Desire to vomit on everything and then eat it.
Watch the Fly 2. It's pretty decent.
All right, and to kind of sort of wrap up the comics coming out early this year based on movies or TV shows, I don't even know what to think of this. Fight Club 2 from Dark Horse. And the only thing I could really say positive about it is Chuck Palahniuk writing it, the writer, creator of the original Fight Club, who I have read several of his books.
Have you read Fight Club?
Yeah.
Yeah, great book.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. The problem with Palahniuk, though, I enjoy his writing, is you read too much of it, and you start realizing it's the same voice, it's kind of the same character from book to book to book. And in the later years, he kind of tries to break off from that a little bit, but I'm afraid that it'll be interesting to see it from a new comic point of view, so at least you could put some visuals to it, and maybe it won't be so, like, heady. Maybe he'll do something different that'll make you feel like it's fresh, it's new, it's not the same old Chuck Palahniuk.
Now this is going to be more of a sequel to the movie, not so much the book, because if I'm not mistaken, the book ending was a bit different.
Was it?
Yeah, the book and the movie they definitely stray, but then there are parts that are cut exactly from the book to the movie. I definitely recommend, I mean, the movie's amazing. And then the book's also amazing.
Yeah.
And I really, that's one of the few times where I can, I tell people, read both. Like, read one and then watch the movie.
What's nice about
I don't know anything about the actual comic book, the first one.
There wasn't one. This is comic book.
Oh, this is, it is the number sequel. Two. Okay.
Yeah.
The book and movie are very close. Like, the movie alters, kind of gets away from the book maybe like 15%, which is a really low amount.
The book goes more into his psychosis as far, and also you realize earlier in the book that they're one and the same.
Well, I was going to say, at the end of the book, doesn't he die?
I don't remember him dying.
I thought when he shot himself in the head, it wasn't just, you know, like in the movie where it blows through his cheek.
Right.
Like, he actually dies.
It's been too long. I want to say he didn't die, though. I want to say the movie where
I thought that was the big difference.
Gets all deformed.
Yeah, because I mean, like that. I thought that was the difference. Because I mean, I feel like if anything, it picks up where the movie left off. So like he's Marla and.
Well, I think I saw some of the artwork because I think somewhere on the internet someone released some images.
David Mack has released a few of his covers, and I think Cameron Stewart has done. I don't know if you released that, if that was interiors or variant covers, but it's like the picture of, oh Lord, I forgot his name, the main character.
Tyler Durden.
He doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
Well, there's main guy and then Tyler Durden.
Right.
Yeah, so main
if
guy
If you played
and Marla.
The god-awful Fight Club video game, his name is Joe?
Yeah.
Because he goes in that whole, like, I'm Joe's blah, 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 I'm Joe's blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so they call him Joe, though the character has no name.
I vaguely remember a Fight Club video game. Was it like a fighting
game?
It
was the worst game ever created. Look it up. It is one of the worst games. They do like audio tracks, but nobody's mouth moves. And then the problem with the game is all you could do is just punch back and forth.
What platform was it on?
PlayStation 2. I rented it from Blockbuster and just was like, this is...
Back when you rented video games from?
Yeah,
right. When Blockbuster was a thing.
Yeah.
Chef,
what was that Star Wars game?
Master of Terrace Kai.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That was.
Because a lightsaber does as much damage as a Wookiee punch.
Yes.
I only played one Star Wars video game, Shadows of the Empire.
N64. That is a great game.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
That was when I got burned out on Star Wars, and I was like, I'll just watch the movies. Like, to hell with all this ephemeral stuff. I'm just keeping it strictly. I'm not even reading the new Star Wars comic. I'm just, nope.
Really?
Just wait. I flipped through it. Like, I read enough to be like, okay, this is good, and I can recommend it to folks confidently.
Sure.
Beautiful art, pretty good story, but, like, I'm not going to.
We only got, like, what, 10 more months before that movie gets released, right?
Yep. Something like that.
Yeah.
Mark your calendars now.
Yeah. Buy your tickets.
Yeah.
Wait in line.
No, I'm talking
about how well that worked.
Yeah.
All those dirty, stinking people waiting in line to see The Phantom Menace.
I didn't.
I've been camped out for months.
I did not see it midnight. I saw it a week after and didn't have to wait in line at all. Because guess what? That's how movies work.
See, my stepdad knew that, like, smelly guy who waited in line for a week, and he got extra tickets. So, like, my stepdad got the tickets from that dude and came home and was like, surprise, kid. And I was like, holy crap.
And then you saw it and you were like, holy crap.
That's all right, because I still, you know, the next day went out and bought every action figure I could get my hands on.
I knew it wasn't great when my little sister really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I was...
Nothing against my little sister. I was just, you know, at the time she was like 4, so...
Yeah. Well, that's what it was made for her. But enough. Enough about Star Wars. I digress.
So there's a couple of really interesting comics coming out this year that are mixing things up. Dutter's the only comic that you read, The Goon,
yep,
has a new one starting... actually, it started Wednesday, so it's out now. Jump on board, called Once Upon a
Hard Time.
Yep, from Dark Horse Comics. This is the final story from Eric Powell's Goon saga.
For now.
Now, you are an avid Goon fan.
I am. It is probably the only... no, not probably. It is the only series that I have won through... what is this one? I think this is like... 50-something, I think, of all of...
Yep, this will be 50, yep.
Yeah.
Including Satan Sodomy, baby.
Including the one-shoot Satan Sodomy, baby. Yes. And I'm excited. I haven't picked mine up yet. It's waiting for me. But
Where is it waiting for
you? Near my house, at Durham.
Don't ask him that. Yeah.
Sorry, man. Actually, what's funny is I could easily switch over to you guys because you're right down the street from where I work. I didn't realize that at the time when I moved to Durham. Sorry.
Nah, that's fine, man. Hey, get it where you can, all right?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, no, I'm really excited about this. He actually just did an interview. He did a Reddit Ask Me Anything, or AMA, as the cool kids like to use their... acronyms.
What did he say in the AMA?
He said a lot of things.
Did he?
Yeah, he talked about the kind of booze he was drinking while he was doing the AMA. He talked about the kind of booze he drinks when he's drawing, and he talked about the kind of booze he drinks when he's not drawing. But more specifically, he talked about how this could be the end of the Goon. And how amazing things are going to happen in this little series. And then he talked about his future projects, which is Little Big Man, or Big Man Problems, or Big Man thing, I can't remember what it is. It has to do with Big Man. It's a collaboration with someone else. I'm not sure who, because I don't remember people's names. But it's going to be his artwork. I'm not sure if he's doing the writing as well. But he's collaborating with someone else. But I'm excited about the game.
Speaking of stories coming to an end, this is also another big one. Bill Willingham's Fables 150 is... Yes. The final one.
Big Man.
Does that include this? Do you know if that includes the spinoffs like Jack of Fables and the various other ones?
What do you mean, like?
Or if it's just the end of the main time, the main story?
It's the end of the main. I mean, Ferris is coming to an end as well, but yeah, Fables 150. That's it, the last one.
If you are a fan of Once Upon a Time, you have Fables to thank.
Yeah,
I actually enjoyed them. What did you loan me?
Fables, Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was much better than that horrible ABC show.
Once Upon a Time.
The horrible ABC show.
Yep.
Nah, I'm just hoping they can get James Jean to come back and do the final cover for 150.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be nice.
It's gonna be sad to see it go.
You know, I was never really into that book, honestly. It's one of those that, like, everyone has recommended to me. Mm-hmm. And I think I started it at one point. But it's on my list of, like, titles from, like, the last 10 to 15 years that everyone's told me I need to read. And I just have not, like...
I've gotten to volume 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed everything that I've read up until this point. It is a lot of content, especially with the spinoff series. Mm-hmm. This is a lot to digest. So I guess like the best thing to do is kind of pick one of the stories and just kind of follow that. Okay. I guess I'll be happy when it's over. Not in like a glad it's over, but like in a, like things can come to an end and it's okay, you know? Yeah.
No, I mean, I like finite series. I like stuff like, you know, that works towards a conclusion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't think there hasn't been a lot, especially like something that long, like Fables, that, you know, I've read from like start to finish. I guess the only thing would probably be Why the Last Man.
Yeah.
Starman. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's always kind of bittersweet when it comes to an end. But I think the sad thing for me, you know, with Fables going away, is that's going to be probably one of the last, you know, original pre-52 Vertigo title. You know, I mean, they have some interesting stuff on the horizon coming up and such, but Vertigo just ain't what it used to be, man, honestly.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to... They're making so much money off their main DC line that it seems like Vertigo was really big in the 90s and it just hasn't really captured that again. I don't know. Hopefully they'll hand it off to like good hands and get some new books out there, new stories.
Well, I mean, I
the
think...
future's not written.
No, it's not. It's not. Sure, sure.
I looked up Big Man Plans.
Yeah?
It is Eric Powell teaming up with Tim Weiss. Weisch for a brutal crime drama steeped in mystery this March 2015.
Sweet.
So Big Man Plans number 1 arrives in stores on 3/4, so March 4th.
You, Sequoia,
yes,
last episode, mm-hmm, said if you were a betting man,
mm-hmm,
you'd go and place it all on Archie this year.
I don't know if I'd place it all on Archie.
You'd place it all on Archie.
But no, I've got high hopes for Archie.
So
this year. Overall as a brand.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They're totally reinventing the whole company
and
all their titles. They're bringing back the Black Hood.
Yes, all that Red Circle stuff. What was it? Oh, God. I'm trying to remember. All. Yeah, was it Dark Circle now? Because it's more hardcore.
I believe so. Yeah.
Well, you got the Fox. And
the Fox is coming back,
the
I believe.
The Shield, if I'm not mistaken. That's back. And I thought I read somewhere that they were bringing back... oh, Lord. It was another one from that old line. I can't remember. I was just reading about it today on Newsarama.
Is this the same Archie that like hangs out with Jughead? And they
yes.
Eat?
Yes. Yes,
they started doing that last year with Sabrina, making Sabrina a little more grown up. Yes, Sabrina the teenage witch.
No, I know, but, dude. Archie, I have.
That's right. You're the lady.
My lady keeps
Archie.
Archie's all around the house, and I can pick up and follow the misadventures of Jughead, Betty, and Veronica.
See, there's a comic lover inside you, man. You just got to pay more attention to
Mr. Weatherby. Yeah, I can follow the whole gang. As they live the same adventure.
Well, I mean, even before, like, you know, Afterlife with Archie and the new Sabrina comic. I mean, you look at the actual, like, main Archie line, you know, like, the Life with Archie stuff they were doing where, you know, there was the alternate universe in which, you know, one he marries Betty and another one he marries Veronica. And, like, it takes on some, like, really heavy... themes that, you know, you just were not prepared to read about in an Archie comic, like, you know, Laura, what was her teacher's name? Can't remember. Was it
Mr. Weatherby and Mrs.
Krabappel?
No.
Was it Quimby? Was it? Well, anyway, like, she marries Mr. Weatherby, and they have a long, happy marriage, and then she winds up dying of cancer.
What?
Yes! And it's like, man, this is... And then, you know, they introduce Kevin Keller, who's, like, their first gay comic book character with his own series.
And they, I think they married him, too, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, he got married. I want to say his husband's a veteran of the Afghanistan War. But just all sorts of stuff. So there was that. And then, you know, they did the Afterlife with Archie comic, which more or less the only way you can describe it is it's The Walking Dead meets Archie. But, like, it's really good. Very well drawn, very well written. And it's just some heartbreaking, kind of frightening moments in it. Sabrina, that was great. Mm-hmm. Although I haven't seen another issue of it in quite some time. Like, those two books are kind of slow.
Yeah.
They don't come out.
Geraldine Grundy. That's the name of the teacher. Mrs. Grundy.
Mrs. Grundy.
Oh, we were way off.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking
Thank
forward
God
to
for the internet.
I do have a life or Afterlife with Archie floating around my apartment somewhere. I do intend on reading that once my stack kind of withers down. But I am really going to try out Archie with this Mark Waid Fiona Staples.
Yes.
Fiona Staples, illustrator from Saga, Mark Waid, who did the last run of Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be real interesting, and I think it's going to be a more grown-up version of Archie and a more hip version of Archie.
Which we'll have to see, because, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it might weird out the old heads
mm-hmm.
who like Archie, and... I don't know, like, as far as, like, I don't know if teens will necessarily be interested in it, but there's an audience for it.
Right.
And I'm hoping that that they find this book, because, honestly, and I mean, Archie does this every once in a while. It kind of changes with the times, although it never really changes, and this is probably, like, the most radical, next to the horror stuff they were doing, the most radical change that they've ever done. In terms of look and feel. So, I have a feeling it's all leading up to, like, this Riverdale TV show that they're working on.
That's right.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
Live action?
Yes, live action.
I wonder how they're going to do The Crown.
Is this going to be on CW
Don't
with all the other...
They used to sell those hats at,
Burger King? They were free.
No. No, you used to be able to buy a Jughead hat, Lord, it was a head shop.
It's like a felt thing.
Yeah,
felt wrapped around on a dome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing special. And then you even have, like, pins on it or something.
Yeah, but, like, mm-hmm. like how would that look in a live-action TV show?
Have they actually posted any pictures?
I could see it being one of those things where, like, you just see it in the background and you never actually see the guy wear it. And you're just like, come on, man.
No, he has to wear it. Otherwise, it's not Jughead. Like, they have entire...
I mean, it looks like some hipster shit that somebody be walking around wearing.
They have entire, like, storylines devoted to him losing his hat, spending the entire time looking for it, only to find out that it's back at the diner in his seat.
Yep. He has to have his crown, otherwise he's not king of the cheeseburgers.
Yep. Oh, Jughead. Finally.
You can't eat 48 burgers. Oh, yes, you can, Jughead.
Finally, Archie is going to go up against one of his greatest... Nemesis.
I thought it was a joke when I heard about this crap.
Well, we've seen him take on Batman.
Yes.
We've seen him take on Alien.
Yes.
We will now see the Predator take on Archie.
You know, he's taken on the Terminator once.
That's right.
There was a Predator, Terminator, Alien miniseries Dark Horse did.
It's way too much going on. Throw RoboCop in there, why don't you? Mars Attack comes down, why not?
Other than actually reading the Predator series, the only other versus Predator I've read was Predator versus Judge Dredd.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. Wow. I forgot all about that.
Yeah. I picked it up when I was like 12 years old, and they had it at one of those Scholastic book fair things at my school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only comic book that looked interesting that wasn't Archie.
So who ends up winning these Predator fights?
Doesn't matter who wins.
It's always...
You, sir.
It's pretty much is always the person versus. Like, so it's Predator versus that person wins. Like, yeah. It's never the Predator.
Yeah, I gotta think, like, the Predator is not the hero in these
stories. No, the Predator is always...
Unless it's an alien.
Yeah.
In sometimes case, Predator is the devil you know. He's the lesser evil.
They'll sometimes be like a team-up, and then the Predator will sacrifice himself at the end to save the tagline person. So, like, if it was like... well, no, because in Judge Dredd, it was straight up. They hated each other. But... like in an Alien vs. Predator sort of scenario, it'll say Alien vs. Predator, but then they throw in a human, and then it ends up being Predator and human versus Alien.
Right.
And then the Predator sacrifices himself at the end, just like in the AVP movie.
There was a movie?
Yeah, I know. It wasn't very good. Stick to the comics.
I'll take that first one over that second one, though.
Well, that one is that weird hybrid alien predator thing.
My thing was the maternity ward scene just really bummed me out, really upset me, and I was like, "This, you were just going for shock value."
Yeah,
there was no reason for that scene.
Terrible movie.
So, out of the list, or maybe even something off the list, what are you most looking forward to this year?
excuse me. If it comes out this year, which they say it's supposed to, two things I'm really looking forward to. Well, three things actually. Paul Pope on his end, I think, is supposed to be releasing Battling Boy Volume 2, which I really enjoyed that first one. I bought a bunch of copies of that to give to my friends, kids, and such. I think it's a great comic for preteen boys. That's not affiliated with some pre-existing comic book character. I thought it was great, so I'm looking forward to the next volume of that. Also, I don't know if it's on the horizon for this year or not, but he was supposed to be re-releasing all of his THB stuff, which was some of his original self-published comics from the early to mid-90s. You know, stuff I used to read that first got me into his work. But we'll see. Other than that... I'm trying to think what else. If it comes out this year, Grant Morrison and Yannick Paquette's Wonder Woman Earth One.
Oh, yeah?
That's supposed to be this year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He's got to take a lot of drugs for that one.
Well, he's been working on it for a while, but he said that I guess what he did with his run of Batman, his run of All-Star Superman, he sort of wants to... kind of take into account all that weird bondage fetish stuff that William Marston
he would go that route
was into, as well as, you know, a lot of his feminist ideals and such, and incorporate onto that character.
Real quick, The Sculptor, which is a book from Scott McCloud, mm-hmm. who's Understanding Comics, I mentioned in the last episode of Damn Art Majors, and I'm going to bring back up right now. That's coming out this year. That's pretty cool. That's coming out from First and Second. If you haven't read Understanding Comics and you want to know more about not only comics, but visual storytelling, writing, and art, and how to convey a message visually... 100% recommend that book. It is fantastic. It is a whole year's worth of English and art classes wrapped up, bound, and illustrated. Scott McCloud.
I almost forgot. Andy Diggle's coming back with his second volume of his comic book. Sort of a...
I want him to come back to Green Arrow and save it from the new creative team that has dragged Green Arrow to hell.
Hit him up on Facebook and tell him that.
I think he needs to hear it. Andy Diggle, we miss you.
No, but he's doing his second volume of his second season of Uncanny, mm-hmm. which I thought was just an absolutely fantastic comic book. It was very crime noirish, but with I won't say superpowers, but you know, people with special abilities. Only way I can really describe it was like, like a good modern crime noir film. Mixed with Heroes. Like, the first season of Heroes.
Speaking of
when
Heroes.
When it was good.
Speaking of things that should have just been left alone. Heroes is coming back.
Yeah, I heard.
Nobody asked for it, but it's coming back.
Is any...
It's reborn, as they say.
Who from the old cast is coming back?
I don't know, dude. I mean, I watched the first season of Heroes. I didn't like it. And then I heard it got worse.
The first season?
I didn't like the first season.
First season's great.
I never watched any of it.
Even for somebody who loves, man. Yeah, dude.
I'm the guy that didn't even watch Lost.
You're just wrong.
You're both wrong. Lost is fantastic.
So, hold on. Lost is your show out there.
The last episode ties everything up, and everybody was happy at the end. In a show full of misery and death, everybody was happy. All
right, I will say this. I watched the first three episodes of Lost, and I could have cared less.
So Lost is your show that you like that we hate. Heroes is my show that I like that you guys... So what's your show?
Like my show that you...
Because we might like it or we might hate it.
I've got the one show, the only show I own all the DVD collection of. Mm-hmm. That's Home Improvement. But as you can tell, product of the 90s. Let's see. A show, like a current day show that I watch that no one else likes.
Dancing with the Stars.
Well, I've really been enjoying Gotham.
Yeah.
What's funny is it's honestly is for Bullock.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying
Bullock though.
I enjoy that actor. I liked him. If you ever saw the show Life.
Yeah.
He was in the final season. He was their chief of police.
He was in episode 6 of the X-Files.
I'm going through the X-Files right now.
You're not a really big like TV watcher. You're a big movie guy.
I mean, I watch TV, but the shows I watch are, you know, the popular like Parks and Rec, and then I really like This Old House and Ask This Old House on PBS. I've been watching The Flash. Couldn't really get into the Arrow.
The first season, you gotta get past that 7-episode hump.
What's funny is the next episode that's in my queue is the one where the jungle lady, Huntress.
Huntress.
Yeah.
She's not a jungle lady.
Sorry, I don't know the characters, and I read the little tagline, the Huntress, and all I'm thinking of Peter Parker going up against that jungle cat guy. That's all I could think
of
in my head.
That's Kraven?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
anyway. But I haven't gotten to that episode.
I don't think have shows we hate. You just shows we don't really give a damn about.
Yeah, I've been watching The Flash, and that one's not bad.
It's very Smallville-esque with the whole character or villain of the week kind of thing. It's fun.
See, I love The Flash. I'm still struggling with Arrow myself. I can say it's good, but nothing I feel like compelled to watch on a week by week basis. But
Blacklist.
Yeah,
that's a show.
There you go.
And honestly, the reason James Spader, that guy, I'm actually looking forward to Age of Ultron just because of James Spader voicing Ultron.
I feel like, you know, with James Spader being strong with, you know, Ultron and Blacklist and, you know, Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man and his general film career, I'm waiting for, like, Andrew McCarthy, Judd Nelson, and... Anthony Michael Hall. I'm waiting for those guys to have their moments. I want them to come back. Sorry, is that too... You don't remember them from the 80s? The Brat Pack? No?
Yeah.
I know the Brat Pack. I gotta put faces on these.
Oh my God. That just made me feel so damn old.
You are old. I actually don't know how old you are. I literally know nothing about you.
Same to you, Dutters. I know very little.
Let's see.
I don't know what he's talking about, dude. I have no idea. Michael C. Hall?
Anthony Michael Hall. He was the reporter in The Dark Knight. The Joker kidnaps.
I know the name. I just can't put a face with the name.
He was Winona Ryder's boyfriend in Edward Scissorhands. He was the goofy kid in 16 Candles and Weird Science. The blonde one.
I know that. I just can't picture
it. It's all the people from all those those rom-coms in the late 80s, you know.
Yeah.
What's that guy? The guy, he passed away. He's the one.
John Hughes.
John Hughes. Was he in The Breakfast Club?
Yes. Anthony Michael Hall and Judd Nelson were both.
Well, Judd Nelson, yeah. Because he's fucking harsh.
Andrew McCarthy, he was what? Was he... Pretty in Pink.
Was he the geeky dude kind of in Breakfast?
No, Anthony Michael Hall was a geeky guy.
Okay, then yeah, I know who you're talking about. All right. We're there. Breakfast Club. Know that one. Yeah. Got it.
We're back. We're good, folks. We're good.
Sorry.
I don't think they need to come back, but...
I'm just saying, as a fan, I'm waiting for them to have their moment. That's all.
I don't know if they're going to have their moment in any of them.
They have their Liam Neeson moment.
Dude, talk about a guy having a moment. He does that one movie, Taken.
Yes.
And now he is an action hero. He's become an action hero. Before I knew him as Rob Roy. Like, that was the whole...
Which is an awesome movie.
Which is a great movie.
I'm pretty sure his role as Qui-Gon Jinn launched his career as an action hero.
I was going to just kind of gloss over that.
No, right? No. I'm gonna do you better. Let's go all the way back to Darkman.
God, I always forget he was Darkman.
Yes, that's a great... Everyone forgets that movie.
No, what's funny is... I saw that movie for the first time when I moved into the dorms and discovered that ECU provided HBO.
Yes.
And I watched Darkman at 3 in the morning on HBO because I was working on a stupid drawing project.
And you drew Darkman.
No, I stopped drawing altogether to watch Darkman. And I was like, what? It's a 3D printer.
Yeah.
Basically, the movie features a 3D printer.
Yep, it prints
prints faces,
skin, and such.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which only lasts, what is it, like 3 hours or something?
I think it was. He had to stay out of daylight.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
And then it would like, dissolve. Because it would like just dissolve on it. Like he'd have to peel it off because it would disintegrate.
Yeah, Darkman, the ultimate anti-hero, the unlikable.
Ooh, but speaking real quick, speaking of anti-heroes, Spawn.
What about? Oh, yeah, issue 250.
Yeah, it just came out. What do we think?
I didn't even get to look at it. We sold out.
Do you think
this
is going
to
be the big year of Spawn? You sold out already.
Yeah.
Spawn is IGN still, just bashed
Spawn
it.
Is still going?
Well, all the more so, I mean, because this is like the return of Al Simmons as Spawn. Somebody else has had the Hell Spawn suit or whatever for.
Like Al Simmons is in the. Spawn number one?
Yeah.
Yes. He was like Spawn for a number of years, and now he's back. I think there was some kind of lawsuit.
I'm surprised you sold out, really.
Yeah, we did. It was crazy.
Spawn,
and I know
Spawn was one of the first books I ever read. Yeah. I remember sneaking it, like, getting it at the...
But when I saw that Spawn was going to have this big, like, comeback, I was sitting there just thinking, like, but, like... I feel like
is
today's
McFarlane
reader
still, is he still alive?
Yes. Who? McFarlane is very much alive, dude.
He just died? He died because you stopped paying attention to him?
No, he's just pretty much broke by buying a bunch of $1 million baseballs.
Yeah, he's kind of had it rough with all these different lawsuits and stuff.
I don't know. I feel like the reader who read Spawn in the 90s isn't necessarily reading that stuff anymore. Or like today's reader isn't looking for the guns and big boobs and the like crazy explosion kind of stuff that really, you know,
no,
90s
we want gritty, well, like, back alley stabbings and violence. We don't need big things and explosions.
Is there room for Rob Liefeld in today's comics? In today's Fiona Staples world, is there room for Rob Liefeld?
I think there can be room for Rob Liefeld. I mean, you know, he's just a man. You know?
he's got to adapt with the times.
In terms of what, artistic style or storytelling?
If you'd like to continue this conversation, we are actually going to wrap it up here and carry it on over into the next episode of Damn Art Majors, where Dutters and I will have guest Sequoia Winston in this crossover craziness.
Oh, your last name's Winston. I didn't even know that.
So in the beginning. I would call this a convergence, if you will.
So this is where...
Damn Art Majors, the convergence.
Don't you even. No, okay, so this is the point where we officially stop
where
talking
we're
about
stop,
comic
and,
books.
And I'll tell you why. Because artist adaptability is going to come into the next Damn Art Majors episode.
All right, this one right here, this episode. Not the one after.
Oh, we haven't just started yet.
Okay.
We're going to wrap up No Big Two by saying, yes. I'd like to thank our guest... James Dutters Dudley of Damn Art Majors.
You're welcome.
And, of course, Sequoia Winston of Capital Comics and Geeks Who Drink.
You don't ever thank me when we're on Damn Art Majors.
Because you're freaking... not the format. It's not the format. Totally different show.
That's why I say if you show up regularly, you're not a guest.
No, it's fine. I am, of course, Adam Buccafusco. Have a good one.